In the name of one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. So if there were Academy Awards for parables, this would be my nominee for best parable of the era. If there was March Madness for parables, this one would definitely get into the final two, not just the final four. If we only had one parable in all of Scripture to tell us about the nature of God and how we are to live our lives as Christians, well, this would be it. And, you know, the parable of the Good Samaritan, also in Luke's Gospel, would be a close runner-up, and probably either one would do the trick. Commonly known, of course, as the parable of the prodigal son. So maybe we better, and of course that word prodigal doesn't appear in the text, right? Let's make sure we know what that word means. Prodigal. Anybody brave enough to tell us what prodigal means? Lee. Wasteful. Yes. Certainly that. Anything more than just wasteful? How about extravagantly wasteful? Profusely wasteful. The ultimate spendthrift. So with that definition, and we'll hold that thought as to that definition as we go into the parable. The story begins with Jesus being confronted by the scribes and the Pharisees, as he so often is, being accused, can you imagine, of being with sinners. And he answers them as to why he does this by actually telling three parables. Two are inserted between the beginning of our gospel and where our parable begins. It's the parable of the lost sheep, the lost coin, and the lost son. And they all have something in common. There's something lost, there's something found, and then there's a big party at the end. Our parable is the longest and the most detailed. And like virtually all the scripture, we need to do a little unpacking for our 21st century mindset to fully grasp the power, the radicalness of what Jesus is telling us. We need to peel a layer or two off the onion, right? So we're probably familiar with the story. There's the father. We never hear about the mother, by the way. We don't know anything about the mother. So the father has two sons. The younger son comes up to him one day and says, "Dad, I want to leave the farm. I've been here too long. I want my share of the inheritance. I want to get the heck out of Dodge." Well, what we may not realize today is that for him to do that, say that to his father, he's in effect saying, "Dad, I wish you were dead. Or, as far as I'm concerned, you're dead to me," because that's the only way he would get his inheritance. Amazingly, the father doesn't seem to respond with what would be the appropriate anger and punishment. Says, "Well, okay." And the son, the younger son, would be entitled to one-third of the father's estate. So in order to actually give the son what he's asked for, he'd have to sell off a portion of the family farm, a big portion, and that would bring shame and disruption to the family and the community. And then to make things worse, the son heads off to a foreign land, a land of the Gentiles. People just didn't leave their home and their land and particularly go off to a foreign country. So he's bringing more shame and disruption to the family. And so he goes off to this unnamed foreign land. We can imagine that he rents a really high-end apartment. He probably gets a big flat-screen TV and spends a lot of money on fine wine and liquor, and he's wining and dining the ladies of the town. And you know the old saying, a fool and his money are soon parted. So he squanders the inheritance on wine, women, and song, and he is left penniless. And then when you thought things couldn't get any worse, they do. There's a famine in the land, and there's nothing for him to eat. And so he's so desperate, he hires himself out to a Gentile farmer who is a pig farmer. And he has to feed and care for the pigs, the last thing a devout Jew would ever imagine doing, a real no-no. And he's so hungry, he wants to eat the pig food. And then one day he kind of, the light bulb goes on. He comes to his senses and thinks, wait a minute. I'm starving to death. Back home, my dad's hired hands probably have plenty to eat. I think I'm going to turn around and head back home. And I'm going to beg for my father's forgiveness. Now, you've heard me say that to repent really means that we have a tendency to walk away from God, and to repent means we have a change of heart. We turn around and return to God. So here we have a very graphic illustration of repentance with the younger son turning around and coming back to the father. In the meantime, Dad's been standing out on the porch of the family farm, looking down, hoping against hope that maybe his son will come to his senses and come home. And one day, he spots him. He's far off. And then the father does something unthinkable for a Jewish man of the day. He runs. He runs to his son. He just didn't do that, right? And notice what happens. The father embraces his son. He kisses his son. He forgives his son before the son even can get his words of contrition out of his mouth. And he treats him like royalty. Bring out the finest robe, a ring on his finger, sandals on his feet, and kill the fatted calf. Well, I'm here to tell you, meat was a rare luxury at the time. So this is the ultimate in, well, maybe this is the parable of the prodigal father being extravagantly wasteful with this returning son. And then, of course, we have the older brother. Older brother knows, figures out something's going on. He finds out that his brother has come home. He knows that Dad has killed the fatted calf. And to say that he is unhappy would be an understatement, right? He is really ticked off. He's resentful. He's jealous. He says to his dad, here, I've been the good and faithful son. I've ever done everything you've ever asked, never disobeyed you. But when this son of yours, not when this brother of mine, when this son of yours comes back, you treat him like royalty, and what have you ever done for me? So we are left wondering at the end of the story, will the older brother ever come to the party? We don't know. So, anybody here, the younger son or the younger daughter in your family? Okay? Did you ever, is it possible that you were ever disrespectful to your parents? Did you ever want to leave home? Maybe did you ever run away from home? Can you identify with the younger brother in the story? Do we have any older siblings here? Anyone who is the older child, right? And you had a younger sibling who just got away with murder with your parents, and you were the good child, right? You did what you were supposed to do. Or maybe we just don't like it when people don't follow the rules. It really bugs us, right? People ought to do what they're supposed to do. So maybe we have something in common with the older brother. I suspect, you know, when it comes right down to it, there are things about both that we can identify with, depending on the time and the circumstances. And you know what? Actually, the brothers did share something in common, and maybe we have that in common too. You see, both brothers focused on scarcity rather than on abundance. The younger son thought that he could no longer be the beloved son. He'd have to settle for just being a hired hand. The older son thought that there wasn't enough of his father's love and gifts to go around for both of them. And of course, the truth is, the Father, God, has enough love and gifts for all of us that never really is exhausted, right? So, you may have noticed I have a print here. It's a little tattered. It's got a lot of miles on it. It's a print of the famous painting by Rembrandt. I'm going to hold it up so the folks at home can see it. It's, as I say, it's the Return of the Prodigal Son. Let me kind of walk it through the congregation. You'll see the loving, forgiving father with his hands outstretched, embracing his son. His son is literally in rags, disheveled. One sandal is off of his feet. He's dirty. He's hungry. He is sheltering in the loving embrace of his forgiving father. It's a great painting. Maybe you've seen it in other places. I understand that the original is a massive painting, 8 feet high, 6 feet wide, and it hangs in the Hermitage in St. Petersburg, Russia. Maybe some of you have been there. Maybe you have seen it. So I bring this to our attention, in addition to wanting you to be aware of this beautiful print, that a guy by the name of Henry Nouwen, who I hope you might be familiar with. Henry Nouwen was a theologian, seminary professor, spiritual guy, author of many books, Roman Catholic priest, born in the Netherlands, spent much of his career in the United States and then later in Canada. Well, he wrote a book called The Return of the Prodigal Son. And you may not be able to see it, but the cover has a copy of this print. So it turns out that Henry was taken first with the print, so much so that he made a pilgrimage to St. Petersburg, where he spent literally hours reflecting on this powerful painting. And several years later, he wrote this book, The Return of the Prodigal Son. And I wanted to share just a few words from Henry's conclusion, because I think it speaks to us, and particularly to this question of, do we identify with the younger son? Do we identify with the older son? Might we identify with the father? And he says, for him, it was so easy to identify with the two sons. Their outer and inner waywardness is so understandable and so profoundly human. For a long time, I had identified myself so fully with the younger son that it did not even occur to me that I might be more like the elder. But as soon as a friend said, aren't you the elder son in the story? It was hard to see anything else. Seemingly, we all participate to a greater or lesser degree in all the forms of human brokenness. Neither greed nor anger, lust nor resentment, frivolity or jealousy are completely absent from any one of us. But what of the father? What about the dad? Why pay so much attention to the sons when it is the father who is in the center? The real question is, are we interested in being like the father? It seems somehow good to be able to say, these sons are like me. But how does it feel to say the father is like me? Do I want to be like the father? Do I want to be not just the one who is being forgiven, but also the one who forgives? Not just the one who is being welcomed home, but also the one who welcomes home. Not just the one who receives compassion, but the son, the one who offers it as well. And finally, I stand with awe at the place where Rembrandt brought me. He led me from the kneeling, disheveled young son to the standing, bent over old father, from the place of being blessed to the place of blessing. So, are we like the younger son, or are we like the older son? And I think the answer to that is yes. Depending upon the time and the circumstances, we can be either. So maybe the real question is, can we be the father, or if you will, the mother? Can we be the father? Can we see the unlimited love and forgiveness that God offers us? Can we go to the party? Can we give the party? Can we accept that boundless love and forgiveness from God? Can we be the Father? Can we give that endless love and forgiveness? Can we be Christ to the world? All of that and more is in this incredible parable. The parable that we might call the parable of amazing grace. Amen.